From Anshe Svar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of women blowing the shofar. We know that the shofar is a time-related mitzvah. Shofar is a mitzvah d'aseh she'azman grama. It's a positive commandment that's time-related. Positive commandments that are time-related, nashim p'turot, women are exempt. However, we also know that there's a tremendously widespread custom, we know at least 1,000 years, where women very much wanted to participate in the blowing of the shofar. And the question is, can a woman blow for herself? Can a man blow for a woman? Can a woman make a bracha on the shofar? Could a man make a woman for a bracha blowing the shofar? Could a man who already fulfilled the mitzvah blow the shofar for a woman? Firstly, where does it come from that women are exempt from mitzvot that are time-related? The Mishnah seems to state it as a general rule, that all kol mitzvot aseh she'azman graman, nashim p'turot, that any time-related positive commandments that are out there, women are exempt. However, the Rambam points out that lo samchinu klali, I mean, don't be overly dependent on this rule of thumb. It's just a rule of thumb. There are so many exceptions to it. It's really nimsarim bal peh. It's really an oral tradition. It's a Kabbalah. It's a tradition going back perhaps to Moses himself, which mitzvot women are exempt from and which they're not. The Gemara, the Talmud, derives it using various exegetical methods, various midrashic methods, the method of shloshak ktuvim habayim kechad mulamdim, that if three verses say that women are obligated in simcha, rejoicing on a holiday, hakel, getting together every 7 years, and also matzah, the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that they're obligated in these three cases. It must be that in all other cases of positive time-bound mitzvot, women are exempt. So, is it a rule? Is it derived from midrashic methods, or is it a tradition? Then, in general, one might suggest four different attitudes one might think of in relation of a woman to a mitzvah which she's not obligated in. One idea is that she's enu mitzvah viosa. That you know what she is? She's not commanded, but she's doing it anyway. In other words, you didn't ask me to take out the garbage, but I decided I'd do it anyway. So, and the Rav Yosef says that he was thinking at first, he changed his mind later, but at first he thought it would be better not to be commanded. If you did something you weren't even commanded to do, maybe you get more credit. Later he decided you get less credit. But the point is, you do get credit, schar, reward in the world to come, for doing a mitzvah, even if you're not commanded. That's a very positive way of looking at it. The other possibility is, well, we don't stop you, but you really shouldn't do it. Or the way the Gemara in Chagiga puts it, that was the Gemara Rosh Hashanah 33a, but the Gemara in Chagiga 16b says, well, women do certain things they really don't have to do. We'll let them do it kedei la'asot nachat ruach nashim, to make women happy. And there is somehow a value called la'asot nachat ruach nashim, to make women happy. It's an important thing. As we know in general, women are perhaps at some disadvantage physically, otherwise, in their relationship with men. Men tend to dominate a lot of things. So we have to have special ethical sensitivity, particularly to women. And therefore, there's a value in keeping women happy in general. It's not just a patronizing type of thing. It's a value to make sure that women who are more vulnerable are taken care of and you make them happy. So even if they're exempt, you let them do it. But apparently, you're just letting them do it, but it's not really a mitzvah. There are those who say, no, let them do it. Any women, mitzvah women want to do. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon and the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah say, sure, let them do it. If they want to do a mitzvah, let them do it. There is, however, a most negative kind of view, which the Shildik Borim brings the Jerusalem Talmud, that kalapotim idavar v'osim nikra hedyot, that if a person is exempt, let's say, from sitting in a sukkah because it's raining, and you decide to sit there anyway, you're a fool. So that is another option, another possible way of looking at women doing mitzvot they're not obligated to do. Now let's look at the various medieval commentators, the Rishonim, and see what they had to say about this issue. So let's take the full range from the idea that it's prohibited for women to do mitzvot that they're not obligated, to the idea that it's a wonderful, terrific thing to do. We'll have 10 or 11 views. Rashi in Sukkah and also in Erevin say it's, and also here in Rosh Hashanah, say it's forbidden, it's baltosif. if a woman would add to the mitzvah, according to the view that you do stop women from doing the mitzvot, according to that view, it's actually bal tosif, it's actually violating the idea of adding to the Torah. Comes the Rabbi Yeshaya in the Shibbol HaLeket, an Italian rabbi, and he says, well, not always. If a woman just does a mitzvah that she's not obligated, that's one thing. But if she should dare make a blessing over it and say that God has commanded me to do it, now she's claiming she is commanded and that which she's not commanded, that's called adding to the Torah, and adding to the Torah is forbidden. It's a pasuk in Parsha Vechanan, lo tosifu al davar she'anochi mitzvotchem, don't add to the mitzvot. The Urayim, Ashkenazic authority, Itur, Provençal authority, and Hagos Mamani, a German authority, say, well, it really is forbidden, but to make them happy, as we said in Maran Chagiga, we let them do it. The Rambam says, sure, they could do it. Only thing is, he says, it's just like a Gentile. If a Gentile does a mitzvah, he also gets credit. So if a woman does a mitzvah, she also gets credit. But let her not make a bracha because she's not commanded. And after all, you get reward, like we said, like Rav Yosef said, Einu mitzvah v'yoseh, someone who doesn't, not commanded and does it, you get credit. So on the one hand, the Rambam is very liberal. He says, sure, a woman wants to do a mitzvah, she wants to put on tzitzit, it's fine. But on the other hand, he's very restrictive because he's saying her relationship to this mitzvah is like a Gentile. These mitzvot are commanded to men, Jewish men, and to women, it really has no relationship to it, but like a Gentile, she can do it if she wants to. And she gets credit for it. The Ravid says, you can do mitzvot in any circumstance, but make sure of one thing. Make sure it's not a violation. There are times when your tzitzis are somehow some sort of shatnez. Let's say the white was linen and the blue was flax, or the other way around, and a man is allowed to wear shatnez, wear mixed linen and wool, if he's doing the mitzvah of tzitzis. But a woman, let her make sure that she doesn't wear mixed linen and wool, because she's not really getting a mitzvah. She doesn't have the power of a mitzvah to override the sin of shatnez. So be careful about that. The Tosfot and the Ravan in Germany, Tosfot in France, say that if women are doing a mitzvah and they want to make the bracha, it's fine. Because again, well, or you say, well, they're taking God's name in vain. He says, no. We learn in Chagiga, we can violate rabbinic commandments in order to make the women happy. So if it makes them happy to make a blessing, let them make it. The Rav Yah takes an approach which I think is very instructive. And he says it's a reshut. There are different types of mitzvot. There's a mitzvah that's a mitzvah you must. There's a mitzvah that you could and perhaps you really should, but you don't have to. And he says maybe that's what the rabbis are saying. When the rabbis say you're exempt, they're saying it's no longer something you must. It's something you can. It's reshut, just like Maariv. The rabbis are not saying you shouldn't daven Maariv. You should daven Maariv. But it's not the same thing where you must. For instance, if you already got into bed, so there's an idea that the Gemara mentions that maybe you already got into bed, you already took off your belt. So then, or you're doing another mitzvah, so you could skip Maariv. Again, that's not the halacha, but that's a theoretical law. Why? Because it's a reshut. It's just one notch lower than a mitzvah, but very close to that. The Meiri uses the language of reshut, but he means something else. He says, sure, I mean, a reshut b'yedo, you can if you want to, you can. And the Meiri says something interesting. The Torah is not coming lahachmir lahakel. When the Torah tells a woman, oh, you don't have to do it, it's time related, it's positive command, forget it, you don't have to do it. It's not telling her, thou shalt not do it. It's saying, we'll make life easier for you. You don't have to do it. You want to do it, great. No problem. So the relationship to the mitzvah, according to Rav Yah, is that you can, and it's at the level of some kind of a mitzvah. Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda was a Rebbe of Rashi, and in the Sidur Rashi, book from the 11th century, Germany, he says, if they want to bring themselves into the mitzvah, they can. This is a radical kind of idea. Rabbi Peretz also mentions this, that Rabbi Peretz says, it's become an obligation of a shofar and a lulav. It's become an obligation. Women, every year they hear the shofar, it's like an obligation. It's a radical idea that a woman who's exempt can become obligated by simply doing it. The Ritvan Kiddushin, and also the Ran Kiddushin, say something much more positive. The Ran says, they can do these mitzvahs l'chadchila and they get reward. There's no question about it. It's not like something they shouldn't do. They should do it, sure. And when it says they don't object, there's a Gemara that says, well, there are certain figures in history, the daughter of Shaul, wife of Jonah, they put on tefillin, they did aliyah l'regel, things they didn't have to do. And the rabbis didn't object. He says, it doesn't mean they didn't object. It means they can do it. There's no problem at all. Now, the Ritva and Kedushin, and also the Ran and Rosh Hashanah says they can even say Asher Kirishanu Mitzvotam. They can say the words, God, you commanded me and you're commanded. How can they say that? Because they're Bichlal Yisrael, because they're part of the Jewish people. They're not saying, I was commanded, we, as in me, myself, or all women. We're saying we, the Jewish people. And since women are certainly part of the Jewish people, therefore they can say those words, no question about it. It's not a concession to the women because to make them happy, as some Ashkenazic rabbis argue. Rather, it is something they are part of the Jewish people and they can say those words. Also, they get credit for it. Since they get credit, they can say it's a mitzvah. There is a more radical view of the Ravid on the Sifri, on the Sifra, who says that even if the tzitzis is mixed linen and wool, this is a second version of the Ravid, even if it is mixed linen, they could still do it. Why? Because there really is a mitzvah here. In other words, the lundisha question, the analytical question here is, when a woman does a mitzvah she's exempt from, is it a real chefsa shel mitzvah? Is it a real mitzvah object? Or is it something short of that? The Ravid in the second version, in this particular opinion, is saying, yes, it's a real full-fledged mitzvah such that it could override the prohibition of shatnez. So these are the 11 different views about how to view a woman's relationship to the mitzvah of shofar. The halacha takes a, sort of a middle view, which says that we let the women make a bracha, but the truth is that we're just doing it to make them happy. So therefore, let them do it. I'll make them happy, or they're allowed to do it. But I don't particularly want to get involved in it. If I'm blowing shofar for a woman, it's better if I fulfilling the mitzvah with this blowing, and it's better if she makes the bracha, not me. This is the more restrictive view. As I said, there are more liberal views of the Ritva and the Ran, but we Ashkenazic Jews, we take this more restrictive view that it's for the woman to make her bracha. But certainly when a woman comes to shul, she should have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah, and according to many rabbis, she gets credit for either someone who was reshut, permission was given for her to do this mitzvah. It was suggested that perhaps she do this mitzvah. She's not obligated. It's a leniency for women. But if she does it, she gets a mitzvah. She should try to fulfill the idea that she's trying to fulfill the divine command. In fact, the Ravya says, you know why she can make a bracha, says the Ravya. And he is from Germany. He says, because she's doing the Ritzon Hashem. She's doing the will of God. And that's what a woman should say. Look, God wants Jews to blow shofar. I want to do it too. Whether you bring yourself into the obligation of it, like some want to suggest, or whether she's getting the mitzvah as someone who's not commanded but is doing it anyway, or like the Ravya says, you know what she's doing? A woman says, I want to do the will of God. God wants Jews to blow the shofar on Hashanah. I want to do the same thing. And that's what a woman should feel. That's a tremendous opportunity to blow the shofar, and therefore if a woman can't make it to shul, she should try to have someone blow the shofar for her, because there is this kind of a custom, an obligation women have taken on themselves. A beautiful thing. They want to be part of this. It's, what is this mitzvah? L'halo zichroneim l'avim sheshmaim. We want to be remembered before God, and no one wants to be left out of that. As the rabbis say about a mezuzah, everyone's obligated mezuzah, because everyone needs chayim, everyone needs l'man yirbu yimeichem v'yimei v'neichem, as it says next to the mezuzah, that your days should be lengthened. Everyone wants length of days. Everyone wants to have a Shana Tova, Matuka. Everyone wants to be blessed in the tree of life. And therefore, surely women should, can, do hear the shofar. And let us hope that indeed the shofar of the men, the shofar of the women, should be Ma'ale Zichroneinu L'Tova, that God should, the sound of our prayers, our tears, our sorrows and our anguish should go up to the heavens, and God should remember us for the good. We want to wish everyone aktiva v'chatima tova. Everyone should be sealed and written in the book of life. Thanks to everyone for joining us today here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Elam congregation here in Memphis, Tennessee. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.